Support for On the Scene comes from the Soundbar OKC Vinyl Bar Lounge, offering records and audio gear for purchase. Open Wednesday through Saturday evenings at 712 North Broadway on OKC's Automobile Alley. Playlists and more at thesoundbaroKC.com.
This is On the Scene, giving you a look behind the curtains of Oklahoma's arts, culture, and entertainment worlds. I'm Brett Fieldkamp. No matter how often we can feel like we're taking too long or dragging our feet, there's really no time limit on creativity. Sometimes a project needs a long time to evolve and develop itself, and sometimes the feelings and experiences that inspire a work need months or even years to present their lessons or their resolutions. But for an artist as otherwise busy, prolific, and well-known as OKC-based singer-songwriter Chase Kirby, it's still been a surprise to seemingly everyone, himself included, that it's taken him so long to finally release a proper solo album. As the leader of bands as diverse as Defining Times, The City Lives, and Big Weather, and as a stalwart sideman and sounding board in Bo Jennings and the Tigers, Kirby is no stranger to bleeding heart songwriting and emotional honesty. But he says that it took years of internal struggle, external strife, and some long-term battles with his own doubt and perfectionism in order to finally record and release his new first-ever solo record, Saved Seats.
You ask me late, you could come over.
A lot of it was getting out of my head. There's this weird, you know, perfectionist wall that I had to get through for that to happen. Once I was like, you know what, it doesn't have to be perfect. That's really when it started, like, gelling.
After years of record releases with his various bands, widely sporadic solo singles, and multiple doomed attempts to tackle a full-length solo album, attempts that repeatedly saw recordings lost, songs scrapped, and confidences shaken, Kirby says the biggest hurdle in the creation of Saved Seats eventually became the time itself.
I think what I worried about the most was the expectation that people had of me. What kind of record I was supposed to put out or something, you know? Not the record that was me. But the album turned into, like, my white whale. After starting over and over and over again, and, like, all of the circumstances, and all of that is happening in the midst of, like, immense trauma and heartbreak. I think for me, a lot of it was I had to, like, shake off years and years of, like, crust that had been built up over time of, like, hopes and dreams and hopes and dreams and hopes and dreams and always failing and those things kind of always, those dreams always being shattered. And really it's like, these songs are about the realizations that I had, but these are common realizations that people deal with in life, you know?
But when it finally came time to confront all the heartbreak, grief, and painful growth that inspired the album's 10 tracks, Kirby then found himself struggling with how to present and produce it all, ultimately deciding to strip away much of the density and layering of his previous projects and commit himself instead to a much more sparse and minimal sound.
You know what you kind of have in mind. It'll change as you go, but it always starts with this kind of vision that you have, you know? And so for me personally, I also realized that I've put out a lot of produced stuff, like a ton of it. And I think that I was personally trying to compensate with production instead of letting the song, like, actually exist and breathe on its own. But I, you know, I figure if I can get the message across of a song better with the least amount of instruments, that's the way I want to do it.
That message, Kirby says, ended up finally presenting itself more cohesively late in the process, once the record's songs were written, recorded, and ready to go under a different album title. But a last-minute realization about the underlining themes connecting the songs, and a spur-of-the-moment acquisition of the cheap, nostalgic lawn chair that graces the cover, led him to a new title, and to a better understanding of the people and the memories that we save seats for, and the relentless need for creativity, no matter how long it takes.
It's about who we save space for, you know, even the bad people that we shouldn't, you know, but we do because we believe in them. We believe in the hope that they give us. We believe them when they say things like, I love you or whatever. But you get to a point, you're like, yeah, but I think the adult thing to do is say, ah, that one's over. Let it go and move on. And I'd like to save this seat for somebody who actually wants to sit next to me. One of the things that I've always talked about and that I still try to stay focused on is if you listen, the song will tell you what it needs. I think there are writers who kind of write to survive. And as I've gotten older, I just realized I think I am one of those writers.
Saved Seats, the debut solo album by Chase Kirby, is available now. And you can next catch Kirby live this Saturday, April 25th at the Norman Music Festival and at the album's official release show and celebration Friday, May 1st at 51st Street Speakeasy in Oklahoma City. For On the Scene, I'm Brett Fieldkamp. Now here's Chase Kirby with Courting Disaster.
Cause here it's lain, courting a disaster, only leaves me strange in the moments after.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.